Welcome to the FM Football Podcast. You're here with Amelia, Emmy, and Divya. And today we are talking about the Women's World Cup 2023.
Right, let's kick off, pun intended, with the match that we all want to talk about, the England-Haiti match. What do we think? What happened?
Well, England won.
England 1-0. Yes, only 1-0. Surprising?
Do you know what? I know some people were disappointed, and I know that, you know, England won the Euros. People were expecting big things, especially playing against a team, Haiti, who, you know, it's their first time in the World Cup, and people were predicting scores like 10-0. But when you, like, compare them to how, like, England played in the Euros in the first game, they remember when we watched them at Trafford? It wasn't the most, like, they weren't that great. And they, you know, they just scored the 1-0. So it's kind of like they kind of played quite similar to this first game. Sorry, Dave, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I was thinking the exact same thing, because there's a lot of, lots of people are panicking almost after that first game, thinking, oh God, you know, we're not going to go far in this competition. I know other teams have obviously started quite strongly. Some of your typical folks like the US, Japan, obviously Germany today. But yeah, that it was just, we weren't very good. Let's put it that way. Haiti cut us open like so easily. Defensively, just not great.
Yeah, I mean, there were some times there where like Haiti were through on goal and it looked like it was going in the back of the net, and it was just Mary Earps being amazing that stopped that from happening. And like that's when, yeah, like what happened, like the defence was just broken down. It was just, yeah, a bit nervy. But I think that with Haiti, like this is their first ever World Cup. They're a bit of an unknown. So it must be really hard to kind of structure yourself around a team that you don't really know much about. And yeah, I like disappointed maybe a bit, yeah, but like not too concerned. Like I agree with you, Amelia. Like we had a really slow start to the Euros in the summer. Just thought the 1-0 against Austria in the opening game of the Euros. So yeah, and we got the 3 points. That's the main thing, right?
Yeah,
but didn't you? I actually enjoyed watching it though. I felt it was back and forth. I didn't find it boring game. Like I actually was like when Haiti saved that, you know, I know it was disqualified at the end, but the penalty that they did save the first time, I was really happy for them. I know I shouldn't have been because I'm an England supporter, but I was like, oh my God, like that was a terrific save. And I thought the Haiti's goalkeeper was incredible for that whole game.
Yeah.
Like I was like, who does she play for? Like sign her up to the WSL, please. And did you know, I only read this recently, she's only 5'4".
No way. Wow. That's not true. That can't be true, surely.
That's what I read somewhere. I could double check it, but 5'4". And I thought, wow, like that just shows, you know, that everyone says you need to be a tall to be a goalkeeper. So anyone out there who's, you know, wants to be a goalkeeper and maybe is not so tall, don't worry. You don't have to be tall to be one. Look at the Haiti's goalkeeper. She's incredible.
Yeah. I think the other positives from the game is that I thought we got better as the game went on. And after the like certain changes were made, I thought we improved. So obviously Lauren James is a massive impact. Like she makes such a huge impact. So when she came on, I thought we looked a lot better. So like there are still quite a few positives from the game. And like you say, first game of any tournament, it's just important to win and get your 3 points on the board. Cause I mean, look at France, that was a game that they should have won. And they like really on paper, and they didn't. And same with China against Denmark. So it just puts a lot of pressure on you when you don't win on your kind of the final two games of the group. So 3 points is all we need.
I do think though, like you said, Divya, when James came on, she did change the game a bit. And I do feel like Walsh, I don't think she was able, she didn't get really involved in the game, but as soon as James came on, it did change the dynamic and Walsh was playing more. But there's one player who I didn't even know was on the pitch, and that was Toon. I forgot. I was like, I don't know if anyone else thought that. I was like, where are you, Toon? And I don't know if that's maybe, she just wasn't getting involved in the game. And I thought that was such a shame because, you know, she played such a massive impact of it in the last tournament, the Euros.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could single out quite a few players, to be honest. Even defensively, it was obviously great to have Millie Bright back in. So that positive that she's playing. But again, defensively, we were just pretty poor, like gave the ball away quite easily. And again, we were just cut open very, very easily.
I think there are a lot of like sloppy passes in that game, and like that's football basics. Like you shouldn't be, you know, mispassing the ball. I feel that had me concerned. It was just a bit sloppy. I thought when Daly came on, was it halfway through the second half? Had that really nice header, almost got a go out of that. She's such a goal scorer, like in the WSL. And has she scored a goal with out front of England yet? I'm not sure. There's definitely been like a lack of England goals like this year, like in the games they've played. It's been very, very low. I'm just hoping that like a switch flips at some point soon, and we get to see that, like get to see some of that WSL goal scoring.
Yeah, I was really hoping Daly was going to score. I don't know. Obviously, you did watch it online, not online, but on TV, because you was in England. He wasn't at the stadium at this time. But the commentator, you know, when she came on and he was like, "Oh, she did play defence last in the Euros, but now she's a striker." And then she went to Emma Hayes. Why do you think that? She was, because she's like really good. But I loved that she came, and I was the same. I mean, I really wanted her to score because I just wanted her to, like, you know, just show that, like, all the previous England managers, like, where she should have been maybe playing. But also in regards to the strikers, which I find interesting, is like everyone's talking about Russo and oh my god, we're just talking about it, Russo and Daly. But what about England?
Of course. When's Bethany England going to come on?
I hope she gets some game time. I hope she's not there just like to be there in case one of them gets injured.
Yeah, I'd also like to see Jordan Nobbs on the pitch as well. Obviously, she's been playing with Daly a bit in the WSL. The last bit of the WSL. I would like to see Jordan Nobbs on the pitch.
But that's interesting. Do you think Wiegmann will make a change? Will she change her tactics? She seems to, like, when in the Euros, she kind of stuck to the same gameplay. Do you think she will, like, at the moment, I did wonder when it got to, like, last 20 minutes of the game, I was wondering, are you going to make that substitute? And she did, and she brought Daly on. I felt like she was doing the reversal. So now she starts with Russo instead of White, obviously, because White retired. And then she brings on Daly for the last 20 minutes. So it'll be interesting to see if she uses the same tactic next game. And I also think what's great, even though we haven't got the same England team that won the Euros, no one can predict how we're going to play. There's changes. We've got new players, and I'm just, you know, like Bethany, Bethany's not playing, William's not playing, so I think it's nice that no one can read us.
Definitely. And I think there is the, you know, it's not the same team we had in the Euros, but there is a lot of talent in that team. Like a lot of like WSL stars, obviously Georgia Stanway playing for Bayern. There's like Lucy Bronze, Skira Walsh. There's a lot of like talent in that team. And I just want to see it. Just want to see that talent, that skill. It's a good team. Like on paper, it's good. It's not the same as last year, but it's still a lot of talent.
Exactly, and it's experience, lots of experience in there. Like you named a few of the players who are more experienced in the England setup, but even those who aren't as experienced, like Arusso, for example, I mean, and Chloe Kelly, they won the Euros, and they did it on such a massive stage. Like Chloe Kelly obviously scoring the winner in the Euros final, some key goals, key penalties as well. And the finalissima as well. I think, was it Chloe Kelly as well who took the deciding penalty in the shootout. So even those sort of younger players, they have that experience of tournament football under their belt, and obviously were successful. So that's also, I think, going to be quite crucial going forward in this tournament, especially where you have a team like the US who obviously historically have been very good, and they do still have a lot of experience in their team. But I feel like that they're probably more dominated now by the younger players coming through.
Definitely.
Younger, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it is also just inexperience, and that kind of is quite important as you go further in competitions.
Well, I was just thinking about USA, you know, like they've won like every World Cup and whatnot, but obviously they've won everything. When you think about all the girls from such a young age, soccer is their sport. Like not many countries have that backing. Yeah. So it's not, so now I really look at it, I'm like, well, of course you're going to win. So it's going to be really interesting as, you know, the years go on, like, you know, when women's football keeps getting more competitive, how like USA will do.
Like if USA win this World Cup, it would be the third one they've won in a row. They've won the last two, but yeah, like you're right. It's more accessible there, especially younger. And you know, I was watching football the other day, and then after the match, I think BBC just autoplays something similar, and they played like a documentary about Bender like Beckham, and I was like, oh yeah, and it's just like, you know, that scene where Keira Knightley's like, no, you can't have a career here, but you can in America, and obviously, yeah, you know, I think that's 20 years ago, that film. Can you believe it?
It's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. But,
you know, that they've got that legacy of like having that accessibility, and yeah, like it's much better now here in England and like lots of other European countries, but they still got that legacy that's like carrying them through. You know, think about the Euros last year, but even like the year before, how like different it was, or the Euros before that, like how less popular and supported like the FA were and stuff like that. I think that's a good point.
Sorry, Amy.
No, I was just going to say with that USA game, that USA Vietnam game, obviously USA won that pretty comfortably, but I was really happy to see Alex Morgan miss a penalty.
You do not like Alex Morgan, do you?
She's just a bit smug.
I love her. I mean, but she can be smug. She is different class.
The American cockiness.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, they can be, I guess. And I imagine this will be her last, it's obviously not confirmed like with Rapinoe, and maybe it won't be her last World Cup, but I imagine this must be one of her last major tournaments, because she's getting on a bit and they have a lot of younger talent. And so, yeah, this might be her last World Cup where she plays like a proper role. So, yeah, it's quite exciting to see her playing. But also, I just watching the US, I didn't even think they were that good, but they're just still just different class. I don't know how to explain it. I think they've lost a lot of fluidity that they had before when they had kind of the more experienced players in the team. And as the personnel's just changed massively, but they look pretty good, and I think they'll grow into the tournament. So it's going to be quite tense.
Do you guys have a prediction on who will be in the final?
I don't want to predict. I can't. Like, I don't want to. Like, I can't. I just really don't want to, like, jinx or anything.
That's really tough for me, yeah.
I don't think we should do it. I can't do it. It's making me too nervous.
Obviously England.
England.
Listeners, it's really exciting. Me and Div are going to be out in Australia for the semi-final and the final in Sydney. Still praying that we get to see England. I went out, Div. Like, I know you get to Australia a little bit before me, so you might even be there for the quarters. I'm not sure. I leave on the day of the quarterfinals, so if England are in it, we should be in it. If they win that game, then we know we're definitely going to see them in the semi-finals. So it's going to be... Great. I was trying to work out the other day. I was like, oh, where can I go and watch the game? But perhaps I can bring my suitcases with me. And like, that'd be so like such a buzz to be like, oh yeah, we're off now to go and see the semi-final.
That would be amazing. I'm going to check that out, actually.
I feel sick just thinking about it. Obviously, it's a few weeks away now, but I'm just like, oh, I just want to see England play.
I'm so excited.
I think they're going to make it.
But yeah, I have hope that we can.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, by the time you get to the quarterfinal, semi-final, finals, I mean, clearly lots of great teams will face each other and something's got to give. And we've already beaten some fantastic teams. Obviously, a lot of the quality teams, with all due respect to the rest of the world, are in Europe. But obviously, you do have Japan, China, the US, from... like in particular from outside of Europe, but you know, we've beaten a lot of the European teams.
In Serena we trust.
Yeah, I really do, actually. I think she's great, and I think, you know, like some people like thinking she needs to, you know, make more changes, but she won the Euros and she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, like, I have more faith in her than I've had, with all due respect to other managers, but
yes,
with certain managers, it's just, you can see the philosophy, you can see what they're trying to achieve and how the team is set up and how they're playing. And with her, I definitely see that. I'm not going to lie, I was questioning a little bit some of the, like, the lineup originally, because I thought, why is Lauren James not in, like, starting? I would start her, but, you know, I'm not the manager. But yeah, I guess again, that is a game that on paper we should win fairly comfortably. So I don't know. She obviously has something in her mind, and I fully trust her. But yeah, yeah.
Do you think she's not bringing James on straight away because she's using her as like a secret weapon, just like she used Russo and Toon as her secret weapon in the Euros? She, you know what I mean? You need those players to come on who are going to make the changes, and that could be Daly and James, right? You don't want to. Use yeah. like all your, I don't know, all your strength it's in the true. First half. I don't know.
With Lauren James, because she's such a like dynamic player, then yeah, perhaps I can see that suiting as like a sub, just like changing the pace of the game, like really putting pressure on, perhaps on like tired legs, because, you know, she's really good at like ball control. And I guess perhaps she's sticking like Russo and Toon on as starting, because obviously they play together with Man United, they've got a good relationship. But I would really like to see Daly start, like, rather than be like a superstar, a super sub. I don't know. I feel like because she's more in that number nine role, I feel like we kind of need that. Like, there was a lot of just that link up and someone to like just knock it in rather than doing anything too flashy, just like your basic number nine role.
Yeah, hopefully we can score from open play finally.
Yeah.
Go on the back of the net. Oh, what do you think of the VAR? That's all changed, isn't it? Dibby, you mentioned that previously.
Oh, my God. That, like, one thing that I've just been really impressed with is how they've used VAR. You know, like, the referees have been obviously given the autonomy to do their thing and do their job. So are the Lions people. But, yeah, I think the way VAR is intervening and then having the refs go over, but then having them also explain their decisions is great. It must be great for the people in the stadium as well. Obviously we'll figure that out when we go, how good that is. But yeah, I think it's just brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. I think it adds like a certain like drama to it. Obviously the VAR does slow it down, and they're doing it, you know, that I think until yesterday, like every game, every match had a penalty. There's been so many penalties, like in those opening games. There's a whole run, I think about 6-7 games, matches all in a row where I had penalties. And see if VAR does like slow it down a bit, but also I think it's pretty exciting and it's like, it's fair.
I was going to say, though, all those decisions where VAR has intervened, I mean, they've been the right decisions. Objectively, I think, anyway, you know, like the red card, for example, the yellow card that was overturned and made a red card. I think that was that the Canada game?
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. So that
was a red card, and that was hard to see in real time. So yeah, it's not the ref's fault. They gave she gave a yellow, but like that's exactly what VAR's for, and that was the right decision. The handball. We had a penalty shout as well, if you remember, one that wasn't given. And again, I thought that was the right decision. I thought it was a really soft foul. I didn't think we should have got that. So we didn't. But the handball that was given, again, that was. And to see the goalkeepers coming off their lines, for example, and obviously have the penalty retaken again, like that's perfect. That's exactly what VAR is there for.
Going back to what you just said, the handball. When she did that, when you know they played it in slow motion, Haiti putting her hands up like she was the goal, it's like, that is one of the biggest things you know in football. Don't put your hands up in the box.
Yeah, that's so weird.
And I thought maybe she was just like, I can't let them have the ball. I'm just going to... I don't know, like her instinct, like, you know, her body didn't have no control of what she was doing and the arms just went out.
Because you never see them with their hands right up in the air, like, you know, put your hands behind your back. That was a bit...
I was going to say, literally, because obviously I'm a defender, as you guys well know. And now I'm like, it's so instinctive now for me to run with my hands behind my back when an attacker's like coming towards me, because I just like, it's so unnatural for me to have my arms out. I'm surprised I haven't fallen over.
Well, the Haiti player will never do that again.
Yeah, lesson learned. I just fact checked you, Emily, about the Haiti goalkeeper, and yeah. Curly.
My sources were right.
5'4". That's insane. Like,
that's smaller than me.
Yeah,
impressive. Makes even more impressive.
And they did a really good job. Like, I thought they were making some cracking saves. And yeah, but there you go. Okay.
Yeah. So, should we talk about some other teams and some other matches?
Yeah, let's do it. One thing that I really love about this World Cup are like the stories coming out of it. So, obviously, okay, let's start with the opening game, New Zealand getting their first World Cup win on like on home turf in front of a record crowd. I think they said it was a record crowd for football, like full stop in the country. So it's like it's just incredible. And you still like even I was emotional watching it, like at the end and the way they celebrated it like they won the whole thing. It was just incredible. It was just such a beautiful moment. I really loved that.
I'm so happy for New Zealand in the opening game against Norway, getting a 1-0. Like, yeah, you're right. They celebrated so hard, and for like football isn't like a big sport out there. And like, I was quite sad to see like they actually really struggled to sell tickets in New Zealand, like compared to Australia. Like, you know, done really well selling tickets. New Zealand was a bit of like a harder sell. But hopefully, like, you know, stuff like this really encourages the game and, you know, encourages football. And though I have to be quite concerned if like watching the games in New Zealand and in like Sydney and Brisbane, how cold everyone looks in the stand. They all wearing
Don't.
hats and scarves, and I was like, shoot, we need to like I need to rethink my packing, because I pack bucket hats and sunglasses and vests. Like, that's what I thought I'd be taking, but now I feel like, yeah, we need to pack some football scarves.
Yeah, I mean I was gonna take one big suitcase, but I think I'm gonna take a big one and a small one so that I can pack like thicker clothes. Oh
Yeah, but
God.
guys, you're English, you're used to the cold.
Well, you say that, dear. You say that, Amelia. But in the Australia Ireland game, so like Australia's first opening game, all the Irish supporters were all wearing hats and scarves and coats and stuff as
Yeah, that
well.
was not a good sign.
Did not feel with
It's
confidence.
not a good sign. But I speaking of Ireland, Ireland's also is it was their debut. It not was, it is their debut at a World Cup. So again, like I mean, let's be honest, they didn't deserve to get much out of the game. They didn't really offer much. But again, that was a great story, Australia winning without their talisman. And I mean, Ireland's kept it to 1-0, so I think it was a valiant effort from them in their debut
Another
World Cup
penalty.
appearance. Yes,
Yeah, another
it
penalty. Giving Australia the win. But yeah, I was quite disappointed for Ireland. I would have loved them to walk away with a tie or, you know, a win.
was.
Yeah.
What's happened to Sam Kerr? Is she out?
I wish.
She was. She wasn't in the squad on the first in the first game. And everyone was a bit like, "What? Where is Sam Kerr?" And then I think was it after or during? Maybe just before the game. I'm not sure. But she posted on Instagram that basically said she picked up a calf injury in training, and so she'll miss two matches. But obviously, if Australia win their first two matches, they should go through. So I wouldn't expect her to be risked for like the third group game if it's like a Dutch.
I think they're saving her, aren't they? They're saving her for the
Yeah.
knockouts, guaranteed.
Do you think we'll end up playing Germany at any point? Because that's who we were playing in the final, wasn't it, in Euro? So, and they'll have Pop back. I
Yeah, and
oh,
she's
she's
looking
good, isn't
good.
she?
She's looking good. Again, I know obviously you have to look at the opposition, but it doesn't matter. You have to beat what's in front of you. And they just dispatched Morocco. Oh my gosh.
Tasty
Big,
6-0.
scary,
Tasty.
scary, scary times.
Japan also had a really great first game as well,
Oh, they were
beating Zambia
brilliant.
5-0. I didn't realize, you know, being a fairly like newcomer to following women's football, so he got into the Women's World Cup in 2019. But yeah, Japan won the World Cup in 2011,
Yep.
final against USA. I didn't realize, but yeah, they had a great opening game against Zambia, 5-0. But there was actually quite a few other goals, but there was offside. There's I think at least like two other goals scored by Japan, but they were offside.
Yeah, they were. Again, watching them is kind of similar to how I felt watching the US, but Japan just look different class.
Yeah, they look
Like
good.
again, I know they were playing Zambia, but they just look reinvigorated, as you say. Like historically, let's say they have been, a very strong team on the international stage. So obviously, like you say, they won in 2011, and they got to the final in 2015, where they were, I mean, battered by the US. But So yeah, I think they kind of fell off a bit, but I mean, they look pretty damn good now.
Brazil, Panama, another really exciting game. I've actually been, yeah, I feel like the first couple of days of the World Cup were a lot of like nil nils, 1-0. And I've pretty much watched all the games until today. I was like, I don't really have time to watch the Germany game. I just watched the highlights, expecting it to be
Yeah.
like another nil nil one. And it was, yeah, that was six.
I
What was
can't
it?
wait to watch the highlights.
Six
Yeah, it
nil.
was 6-0, wasn't
Yeah.
it? And Brazil 4-0.
And Brazil 4-0.
Yeah, I confess I haven't watched the games today, but as you guys know, I've seen some of the goals. Yeah, this is just getting really exciting now. I feel like once we get all of the first games out of the way, it starts to kind of kick on and get really exciting because, first game of tournament nerves, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see if we haven't had any like crazy surprise results so far, except probably the France Jamaica game. I mean, I think they said that Jamaica have played France twice before and they hadn't lost. So maybe it's not that surprising, but I still think you would expect France to beat Jamaica on paper.
100%. And
So nil nil, wow.
I'd say the same for Canada and Nigeria, nil nil. You really
Oh
expect winners of the Olympics to walk away with a win
True.
there. They did have a penalty, but
The
missed
goal, oh my
again.
God.
Christine
The
Sinclair.
Nigerian goal, yeah, she did. And Nigerian goalkeeper again was amazing. I feel like it's quite good so far for goalkeepers. We've had some really good performances from goalkeepers.
Yeah, I agree. It's like some amazing performances as a goalkeeper, which makes Mary Earp's news about Nike not being able to sell the England goalkeeper's kit like even more like frustrating and like so disappointing. So listeners, yeah, Nike aren't they basically aren't selling the England goalkeeper kit, which and Mary Earp's put out a statement on social media and she just said it just like shows. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It just shows that they don't care. They don't think it's important.
And
Yeah,
she was the
absolutely
number one
ridiculous.
goalkeeper.
Yeah, in
She
the
got
world.
the award.
How bad is that? Why are you doing this? Why are they
And know
best
your female
marketing?
goalkeeper.
Know your market. Everyone loves Mary Earps, right?
Honestly, she's so personable. I love her so much.
Every time she's on the screen, I'm like, oh my God, I love that moment. And everyone's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
disappointing. Still a long way to go. It just shows you, doesn't it? Still, there's still a fight. There's still a long way to go. I mean, I even felt like during the build up to the World Cup, like I was quite surprised how little build up there was. Like in marketing, advertising things. I know there's England players have had a bit of a dispute over bonuses, with the FA, and that hasn't been resolved. It's just like this fight's still ongoing. Like, and I feel there's been a lot of politics in this World Cup. There's been issues like with the Spain team, the coach, and obviously England pay, and some teams having to like crowdfund their way here. It just just shows the disparity and the fight that's still going on.
And if you go to like, if you just search BBC football, it's not women's football that comes up straight away,
Is
considering
it
it's Women's
not?
World Cup. If you search it, it's lots like transfers, I think, going on with the men's. There's a little bit, obviously, women's the World Cup is mentioned, but it's not like at the top, like, which is quite interesting, considering it's the World Cup.
Crazy.
Oh, and just one more game, actually, I'm quite interested to watch is the Spain versus Japan game.
Oh
Oh,
yeah.
that's going to be
Well, yeah.
brilliant, isn't it?
So
The
that's gonna
31st of July.
be yeah,
What, 8, 8
31st of
o'clock in the
July,
morning,
8 a.m.
have it with your breakfast.
Yes, please. Football for breakfast. Thank you very much.
An omelette. Spanish one.
The Spanish
Who likes Spanish
so
omelettes?
some sushi.
Let's see.
Let's have a look at the games that are coming up. Obviously, the next England game coming up is going to be on Friday.
Denmark.
Friday against Denmark. Morning game, 9:30 kickoff. Is it Denmark beat China? By the weekend, 1-0.
Oh yeah, that was a really surprising result, actually. That to me is a big shocker out of all of the first round. games that we've had so far.
Are you just expecting China to do better?
Yeah, China are brilliant. And I was watching the highlights. I just don't know how they didn't score. They had so many chances. I haven't looked at the stats from that game. They just dominated the entire game. So many chances. Denmark defended resolutely, to be fair. And then they nicked a goal in the 89th minute. And that's it. That's football. So it's just brilliant. And it's kind of opened our group way up now, because we would have expected China, you know, England and China to kind of progress relatively easily. But
yeah,
that's made it quite interesting.
Yeah, and looking at some of the other groups, so another game that I'm quite excited to see is France-Brazil on Saturday. Obviously, Brazil had a great game today against Panama. So France, you know, drew with Jamaica at the weekend, but, you know, two really good teams. Like, what's going to happen on Saturday? Excited
and
for
that could
one.
Be, yeah, that could be quite, I mean, obviously it'll be critical for both of them, but the pressure's on for France now because they didn't win their first game. So if they don't, if they fail to win that one, I mean, they're pretty much probably going out, aren't they? Depending what happens in the other game, obviously. But yeah.
Seriously, thank God we got our 3 points. Yeah. Doesn't make you feel a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, honestly, it's why I never like pay too much attention to the performance necessarily in the first game of the tournament, because you just know there's so many things happening. It's like, yeah, just so many things going on, and it's just so important to get the 3 points and get the win and just start positively.
Get 3 points.
Yeah.
We've got to get to the semi-finals so you guys can watch them.
Yes, please. Yes, we need to see them. I need to be there with my bucket hat and my flag. I made a flag, guys.
What? No, you need to wear a woolly hat now.
Yeah, but I've already bought the bucket hat.
Oh,
put the bucket hat over the woolly hat.
And I've got a flag, my flag, so I'm ready. And then look out for me on TV.
How big is your flag?
A3.
Will we see it? A3, all right, we'll watch out for it.
Made it myself, did some cutting and some sticking. I'll share them on the social medias. As the listeners, you can see my flags and you can look out for it when I'm watching England at the semi-final and the final.
and if you spot it, you know, you can go and watch a game with Emmy in London. That's the prize.
Go on then.
go on then. Oh my gosh, yeah, it is cold, isn't it? Oh god, I'm just looking at the actually, it's not that bad.
So wait, when do you guys head out then?
We can't tell listeners because, you know, we don't want any crazy fans to...
True. I'm waiting for you at the airport.
Only joking. We're going mid-August.
No specifics. No actual dates. But if you follow our Instagram, you will see some really great stories. We'll be there. We'll be repping our bucket hats and bubble hats and flags. And yeah. So that's been really great. I really enjoyed just chatting about the World Cup, talking about England, talking about those other teams. And yeah, I'm just so excited. I've been loving it. Been loving following it. I'm enjoying the next couple of weeks. Can't wait to go out there.
Same. I feel like we've been really spoiled recently. We had the Euros last year. Now we've got this year. I feel bad for the players quite a lot, you know. I'm exercise for them.
Yeah,
but, loving it. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of injuries.
Probably from playing so much. It's been a bit pretty relentless. But yeah, it's been great. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the tournament goes. Div, like what you said, so many like debuts in this World Cup.
It's been so nice.
Yeah, it's really good. Yay, football.
Absolutely love it. It's been such a positive, obviously it's so early in the tournament, but like, I mean, it has been on now. Oh, it's even 4 days. I feel like it's been on for ages.
Yeah, not you mean.
Because it's like 3 matches a day, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
It just has felt like such a positive start. And it just looks like it's gonna be quite an exciting World Cup. So bring it on.
So please, listeners, give us a follow if you want to see us talking about the World Cup, us being at the World Cup. Yes, give us a follow. We are at F_in_football on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, if you see us in the World Cup, come and say hello.
And look out for Emmy's flag.
Look out for my flag.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Farrah can't send in.
Are you trying to say Serena Wiegmann?
No, not that one.
Okay.
Serena Wiegmann.